Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. My name is Guy Alvarez, and I am your host today. And today we are speaking with Lee Sanderson. Lee is a financial professional and business owner. He is one of the co-founders of the American Academy for Certified Financial Litigators, which provides its members with customized training and certification in the financial aspects of litigation. And the topic today is how can lawyers, in particular family lawyers, family law lawyers, how can they use the certification, how can they use financial knowledge and education to differentiate themselves from their competitors and get the types of clients that they want. So with that being said, it's my pleasure to welcome Lee Sanderson. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Thanks very much, Guy. I'm delighted to be a part of it.
And it's great to have you. Before we get started, tell me a little bit more about yourself. How did you get into this business? How does one become a certified financial expert like you are?
Well, to be clear, the organization we're referring to doesn't necessarily train attorneys to be experts. It gives them the CFL designation, which stands for Certified Financial Litigators. And we have attorney members who have this designation in, I think, about 12 different states right now, with a very strong foothold in New York and in Massachusetts. And we're expanding down south and out west as well. So our goal is not to turn attorneys into CPAs. I'm sure they're taking a sigh of relief just by hearing that. It's to really make them mean to be casual kind of rock stars in the financial aspects of what they do. Me personally, I am a CPA by trade and also own a company called Valuation Forensics, where I spend all of my time working with divorce lawyers in the litigation arena, which is how I got involved with the American Academy of Certified Financial Litigators, initially simply as a faculty member.
And so what was the idea behind the AACFL? What was the impetus behind it? Why was it created? I know you told me the story before, but I'd love to share it with the audience.
I'd love to, because I think it's a great story. So at the risk of offending all the lawyers listening, I'm going to tell the story. I was at a judicial event years ago, maybe 7+ years ago, and the judges were making fun of the lawyers. I mean, not in a mean way, in a joking around sort of war stories kind of way. And they were talking about how even the most respected lawyers that come before them that they've known for years, they were saying they still take what these lawyers say on financial matters with a grain of salt. And that, of course, piqued everybody's curiosity and wanted to know why. And the answer was just very simple. They know that lawyers have a certain path that they follow. They go to undergrad and they study history. They go to law school and they study contracts. And nowhere along their journey do they ever receive some real quality financial training on the type of issues that they go before judges and make presentations about. And they wish that there was a curriculum out there that provided this in an organization of attorneys dedicated to being on the cutting edge of financial matters. And this really sparked a lot of conversation, which led to us being a group of attorneys and financial professionals, being able to survey judges on a confidential basis to find out where they felt the family law lawyers lacked, how they wished financial family law lawyers would present information to make their lives easier, and what they would like to see a curriculum look like. And that really was the genesis of the organization, with the mission to increase the financial literacy of family law lawyers.
That is such a great idea, because I know when I went to law school, they certainly didn't teach us anything about how to analyze things from a financial perspective. And I know, having gone through a pretty horrible divorce, how important having that type of mastery and being able to understand that can really make a difference in how a lawyer serves his clients and provides the utmost in quality representation. So I think it's a great idea that you guys created this. So let me ask you another question. There's a lot of family law lawyers out there, and usually it's hard to distinguish one from another. How does AACFL help to distinguish family law attorneys from one to another? How does it actually help?
Well, we think it helps in one of the most important ways. And ironically, it wasn't even the initial intention of the organization. The organization was created purely for education. But once people started getting this education and the right to use the CFL designation, we saw that they began using it in their marketing. And they would put the CFL badges on their website. They would use CFL in their signature boxes. And they would have other staff at their firm trained in the same way. The way they were able to use it is to target and attract high net worth clients. Because, of course, family law lawyers, they want clients that can pay. You know, who can blame
them?
They want the cases. And, you know, the old cop out of, well, I'll just hire a CPA or hire, you know, an expert in my case. I think those days are over. I mean, well, hopefully for me, they're not, because I am one of those experts. and I think there'll always be a need for that. But so many cases are settled on the courthouse steps, and so many cases can't afford experts. And so many cases are settled when an expert is unavailable. So what this type of what people are doing with this training is they're able to distinguish themselves from the masses of family law lawyers by saying, we are unique because we've had advanced training in the financial aspects of divorce. We've had our skills tested, and we believe we can handle your case more efficiently, be able to highlight issues, and help you get a better financial result.
And so when would an attorney make that decision about whether or not to hire an outside CPA or an outside industry expert? So I'm imagining, you know, the certification will only take you so far. When would you make that decision? What are the types of instances where you would make that decision if you were a family law practitioner?
When they believe that they're going to be in a situation where they need to introduce evidence. For example, the CFL designation, in all likelihood, will help an attorney to be able to identify when they do need an expert. Now, when someone actually needs to litigate over what a business is worth, or whether someone has diverted funds or depleted the marital estate, they're always going to need somebody an independent person to testify and have evidence introduced. That's when they would need it. The CFL credential comes in extremely useful when you're cross-examining one of those people and can speak the same language.
Absolutely. So let me ask you another question. Typically, lawyers are pretty busy people. They spend a lot of time just taking care of their clients, making sure their practice is running. And of course, in many states, they need to keep complying with their continuing legal education requirements. So my question for you is, isn't it a big time commitment to become a certified financial litigator? I mean, do you think lawyers actually have the time to do this? Is it something that you think is worth it for them?
It was one of our initial concerns when the organization was launched, that people wouldn't have time to do it. But what we've seen a transformation over these past few years, especially in cities like New York and in Boston, where lawyers are recognizing that they need to distinguish themselves. They may be busy today, but who knows what next year will hold. And so it is not a huge time commitment. It is a course which is online. They can take it at their own pace. And yes, even people that have never tried an online course or know they don't like them have liked this one because they get the printed materials also. And if they want to watch the videos in lieu of the printed materials, they have that option to do so. It is 12 to 15 modules, I believe, right now. And it can usually be accomplished in between 10 and 15 hours, depending on how quickly somebody goes through it. I mean, you know, there might be a module that somebody knows really well, and they can go through that super fast. And there might be a module they want to pay more attention to. For example, understanding K-1s better, or understanding income available for support purposes better, or understanding executive compensation better, whereas some lawyers may know that cold.
So it's very lawyer-specific as far as the time involved. As to your point about CLEs, we've qualified for CLEs in some of the most difficult states, including New York. So I think a lot of lawyers look at it and say, if I have to get CLEs anyway, why not be a part of this community of attorneys dedicated to practicing at a higher level? And in addition, show me a CLE program that can actually help you with your marketing.
And that's a great, great idea, actually. And, you know, it's very true. I mean, if you're going to have to take CLE anyway, why not get something that is going to make you a better lawyer and at the same time going to be able to help you attract, you know, the types of clients you want to attract? So it seems like a win-win situation to me.
At the end of the day, we don't care why people take the training. If they take it because it's going to help them attract high net worth clients, which we're told that by many lawyers that it does, we think it's a win because regardless of the motivation, we're creating a community of lawyers that are on the same page with these issues and that are going to look better in the eyes of the judges when they make these presentations and do a great job by their clients. If they're taking it because their competitors are taking it, great. If they're taking it for the CLEs, great. It's still consistent with our mission. The marketing aspect of it, we've just been told over the past 2 to 3 years, has kind of exploded because I think today, financially sophisticated clients they scrutinize who they're going to hire as a lawyer much more than they did years ago. And sophisticated clients want financially sophisticated attorneys.
And the practice of law is becoming much more sophisticated. So, you know, the better you can equip yourself as an attorney and the more tools you have in your tool belt, not only will you be helping your clients, but also helping yourself to become, as you said, you know, sort of unique and different from other lawyers that are out there. Let me ask you another question. I saw you put a presentation together at the New York City Bar, which I thought was really, really interesting. And it was on, you know, the effects of the new Trump tax plan and what kind of an effect that would have on a lot of matrimonial and family law types of issues. So it sounds to me like, you know, not only becoming certified is something that is good from an educational perspective and a marketing perspective, but by being a member of the AACFL, you continue to get that type of sophisticated legal and financial know-how that can help to navigate the world that is changing and all these different new issues that you have to be aware of if you want to be a good lawyer.
I would agree with that completely. And that's exactly our goal. If we can continuously promote events that are timely and of interest to attorneys, like these new tax law changes and things to be aware of, you know, any financial topics that need to be on their radar, that's what we want to be doing. We want every chapter in every state to be doing it and creating opportunities for the members to be able to take on leadership roles, to be able to participate in these events. Because absent that, they're relying on maybe their favorite CPA or a bunch of articles that they've read. But it's interesting. One of the most interesting things that came out of that meeting with the judges in New York, in the presentation, was most lawyers didn't realize that so much of what they've learned about the new tax law is fluid. It's in a state of flux. And once they realized that, then it sparked a whole new chain of questions about how can we customize our agreements to take into account the fact that what we think is the law right now is subject to interpretation and may be viewed very differently a year down the road.
So let me ask you one more question. So you're, you know, not only are you one of the co-founders, but as you mentioned earlier, you also have a separate business as a CPA and you do business valuations and forensic accounting and other similar types of services. Have you sensed the shift with the lawyers that hire you? Do you feel like a lot of them are more sophisticated in their knowledge of financial aspects that they were in the past, or not really? Is it still, you know, something that it's pretty much has remained the same?
Well, I would say it's different for each attorney. I would say the majority, though, I've seen a significant jump in their financial knowledge. The kind of things that they've looked at for years, but just never really had the time to delve into. And I know lawyers that have been excellent lawyers, top of their field, that have been practicing 25 years, that came to myself or someone else after and said, I can't believe I never really dug into that one concept before, because it comes up all the time. And when I hear that, it's very gratifying, because then I know that the organization is making a difference.
So, Lee, one other thing I'd like to ask is, this show in particular, our podcast, it's listened to by a lot of attorneys, but also a large percent of our audience are legal marketers. And so what would you say to a director of marketing or a marketing director at a law firm that listens to the show and believes that, you know, certification would be valuable for their lawyers? How would you help to position it for this marketing director to try to convince or sell to the lawyers that this is, in fact, something very valuable and something that they should consider?
Well, I think I could answer that best by speaking to what other directors of marketing have done at law firms that have had their whole staff trained. And we've had law firms that have had, let's say, 10 to 15 people in their firm trained. You know, we have small firms as well, which I think is equally important, but they don't typically have marketing departments. So the ones that have had their whole group trained, they've made a decision that, one, we want to focus on targeting high net worth clients. So how can we distinguish ourselves from our competitors? And once they've made that decision and had everybody trained, they've then gone about doing press releases, updating people's website bios, and doing a great deal of promoting about the firm's commitment to excellence in the financial aspects of the area, so that they can be seen by the public as the go-to firm for high net worth cases. Now, interestingly, a lot of these firms were already seen as the go-to firm, but they want to continue to be. And they want people who have sophisticated financial issues like businesses or forensic accounting needs or significant financial holdings. They want to be able to say to them, we have had this advanced training. And in addition to our legal skills, if you combine that with our financial training in this area, it creates a pretty unstoppable dynamic. And I think that's compelling to a business owner or somebody who just has a financially sophisticated world.
It's certainly getting more sophisticated. All right. Well, Lee,
every
thank
day.
You so much. Thank you so much for being on the show. We have run out of time. But before we go, let me ask you one last thing. Is there a takeaway that you would like to share with our audience, a bit of advice or some keywords that you'd like to add just to sum it all up?
Absolutely. That just what clients are looking for is changing. The financial world is changing very rapidly. Staying on top of it is one of the best things that we believe attorneys can do for their clients and to make judges' lives easier. And if this mission resonates with a particular lawyer or law firm, for either the education or for the marketing benefits, we're here to help. And we're here to help in any way we can.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Lee. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. We will share Lee's information on the show notes. We'll also share a link to the AACFL website and Lee's LinkedIn account if you want to get in touch with Lee, as well as his email address. They'll be happy to talk to you more about AACFL and how it can help your firm. And for our listeners,
I should mention that we have a free information packet, which has a lot more information on it that I don't know if you can share that, but if you can, the page that has that, I think
we will include that on the show notes. That's a great idea. We will definitely include that on the show notes and a link to it so that everyone can get a hold of that. Excellent.
Guy, thanks for including us. We appreciate being on the show.
Thank you so much, Lee. It's been a pleasure, and maybe we'll have you back in the not-too-distant future. All right?
I love that.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening to our show today. If you want to make sure that you don't miss any future shows, all you have to do is go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast, and we hope to see you next week. Thanks again, and until then.